Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into this Friday, August 16th, folks. We are talking about Saints training camp, of course, and it is the final practice in California 8 today. Woo-hoo. Our crew, Jeff Nowak, along with Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, they'll be making their way back home after the game on Sunday. Make sure you tune into that. Obviously, WWL Saints Radio will be kicking off coverage at 3 o'clock with me and Charlie First Take Sunday. Then it'll go into the countdown to kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And kickoff in San Fran, 7 o'clock. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Jeff Noak will be bringing you all that from Santa Clara. That's actually where they have the stadium. And then after that, I'll be back home. And soon enough, it'll be Tuesday night, which will be a practice in Yeoman Stadium at Tulane. The Saints fans will be out in full force. Who Dat Nation's finally getting to see this team that have been away this whole time, obviously, for training camp.
Yeah, so, and the guys are going to be flying from Irvine to Santa Clara, and then from Santa Clara
racking
to
up those
New Orleans.
Miles.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, at the same time, kind of like what DA said, he's looking forward to having the team practice in front of the guys and the fans and everything. So, with the workout in California, the bite that he said that I used for the sports flash there was that, you know, they're out of the humidity, it was perfect conditions, they got a lot of good work done, and yet they're still excited to come back to New Orleans.
Until they step off the plane.
Well, yes, for that reason. But to be in front of the fans, which, I mean, I'm sure that they missed, but also the limited distractions of being out west where everyone's kind of together in one place out in Irvine. It seems like it was a good camp.
Yeah, I laughed at some folks that were upset and saying, why are the Saints doing this to the fans? Why don't they want to be in front of them? No, they were just going through some renovations.
Correct.
At their facility. Things moved out there. But you know what? I think it's really a blessing because you consider the way the heat's been around here. I can't even imagine first them having to practice in it and then me covering it that they're on Airline Drive in Metairie.
A couple things, though, because I think I saw an article from ESPN the other day that they weren't the only team that went out to California to hold practices. I think it was like five teams. They were one of five. And so at the same time, Mickey Loomis, I think, addressed this as well, that it's not a long-term thing. Like, it was just something for this year, and I think that they anticipate being back out in Metairie for next year.
Yeah, I guess unless you end up going, like, you know, 16-1 this season, it's like, well, back to California we go.
If you kill it this year, maybe some plans will change, and then you'll still have the practice sessions late on in training camp in front of the fans. But, yeah, it all kind of depends on how they do this year.
Coming up after the first break, we'll check in with one of our California crew, Jeff Nowak, out there, Saints sideline reporter. We'll get some notes from the final day of practice in Cali. 5 o'clock hour, switch things up a little bit, talking a little NBA with writer Ali Cosell, who covers the Pelicans. The schedule just recently came out yesterday. We'll break it down a little bit more, the good, the bad, and the ugly from that Pel schedule, and then get a little more insight on the San Francisco 49ers in the 625 segment. Josh Dubow of the Associated Press will join us. He covers the 49ers. Just what to expect from San Fran on Sunday. Well, they'll be playing starters, although I don't know how much of that team is healthy right now. You know, we complain about,
ravaged,
obviously, Saints injuries, but yeah, the Niners are just decimated.
That's the whole point. That's why they didn't do the joint practices.
Right.
They've got like dozens of injuries, not just like a dozen, dozens. So as far as the Saints and, you know, how many starters they're going to be playing, DA was very noncommittal to that as well today. It was just like he was last week, though. You know, we had heard from a couple guys like Derek Carr that they wanted to get some snaps, right, in the preseason game one. And DA was just like, well, I'll talk to everybody. We'll figure it out from there. And then it ended up working out that the starters, the healthy starters, all played that preseason opener against Arizona. Now, this time around, when he was asked about it, he was once again kind of like, yeah, we'll talk with everybody. So we still don't know exactly who's going to be playing against San Francisco, but I'm sure they'll start to leak as we get closer to his start time.
To me, a big thing for Derek Carr, obviously, is going to be, is the starting O-line intact? And right now, we still don't know what's up with Taliese Fuaga. Well, has a back injury, did not practice today again, although we'll hear from some of the sound I have, too, from the training camp sound bank. Dennis Allen, Jacob Cabote, the running back, wide receiver, Samson Nakua, but DA talking about how it's nothing to lose sleep over for Saints fans with the Fulaga injury. And he's been really upfront and honest with us about injuries, so I don't think there's any reason not to believe Dennis Allen.
Deuce made a great point about this, that you don't need him for the preseason, you need him for week one. And so that's what he said, as far as he didn't know he was rehabbing, he didn't know if he would be available for this weekend. He might not be available for the rest of the preseason, but as long as he's good to go for week one against the Carolina Panthers, that's all that really matters.
I'm interested to find out a little bit more about center Eric McCoy, too. He got a little dinged up at practice, was wincing in pain, but it was able to continue through. But is it something that carries into Sunday where you're like, well, it's just you're better off getting this rest and for this final week of training camp leading up to the regular season than playing him on Sunday? So it's just going to be interesting all around to see what the Saints team ends up doing roster-wise for the game.
Jeff said he got rolled up on.
Right.
But he was still out there. He kind of worked through it, so I'm not too worried about McCoy. I don't know if we can expect him to be playing against the 49ers because this is still preseason work, and you're kind of looking for younger guys to see what they can do and guys trying to make the back end of the roster. I wouldn't probably expect it, but we'll see.
I just think that starting line, getting that playing time together, is just so important for the cohesion part of it.
I get it, but if there's any kind of an injury issue with McCoy, who is your best offensive lineman.
Right, and you know what you don't have any questions about him. You know he's the dude.
One of the more interesting parts about the Taliese Fuaga injury was that what they were doing today in practice, and we'll talk to Jeff about this after this first break here, about Oli Udo and Landon Young were both kind of shifting. They were going back and forth at the left tackle spot, kind of shifting reps, right? Who's going to be the replacement for Taliese for the rest of the preseason as these guys are trying to fight to make the roster and see where they kind of fit in as far as depth pieces go. Obviously, if Taliese Fuaga is good to go.
We'll head into that break right now. When we get back, Jeff Nowak, Saints Sideline Report, also WWL's digital content producer, will join us from California for the latest on Saints practice. Also want to hear from you this glorious Friday, folks, on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. You know those digits. Use them. We'll be right back after this on WWL. We're back here on WWL Sports Talk. Before we continue on with our training camp coverage, got some breaking news to announce, folks. Unfortunately, it is not good news. Ed Daniels, a New Orleans native who was flown back after having complications of a cardiac arrest in California while covering Saints training camp, has passed away at the age of 67 years old. He spent 11 days in L.A. at an area hospital out there, was flown back to New Orleans on August 5th and ended up passing away this morning after complications after a cardiac arrest. So prayers to the Daniels family. And we'll definitely miss seeing Ed around, obviously, Saints camp and anywhere else while covering the Pelicans or whoever else, LSU, a mainstay, obviously, too, in high school prep football, and just a great guy overall. If you ever got to meet him, was willing to talk to you and just about anything from football to life, all around, will be missed greatly. So rest in peace, Ed Daniels, and condolences to his family. Tough note to come in on now, Jeff. I'm sorry. Checking in with sideline reporter Jeff Nowak out in California, talking about Saints training camp practice. And I know you got to be happy at least, too. You guys are moving on, going to Santa Clara, California for a game on Sunday, and just that much closer to getting home.
Yeah, and before we go, you know, Ed, you brought up Ed, and obviously that news just came out, and I haven't been here that long. I've only been covering the Saints for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, right? And
yeah.
Ed was always like, you know, I'm a hopelessly awkward individual in social settings, right? I have a hard time kind of getting into groups. It's something that, you know, you'd probably find odd because I talk for a living. But, you know, Ed was one of the first people that just, like, would actually come up and talk to me. He didn't even know me. He just wanted to learn more about people. And, yeah, it's a tragedy. It's not going to be the same without him covering sports in this city. And, we don't need to talk about it too much. It's going to be something we talk about a lot going forward. But yeah, it's awful. It's a tragedy, and prayers to his family. And yeah.
What's funny is you mentioned the fact that being awkward socially, or Ed coming up to you. I said a similar story to Charlie. I was like, I remember starting out and going out to Saints training camp my first time and not knowing anything. You know, I knew the sports director of WWL at the time, but I wasn't familiar with any of the other media members. And Ed Daniels was definitely someone who came up immediately, talked to me, made me feel comfortable, and just always a fun guy to talk to. I loved his sense of humor, and will definitely be missed.
No question. Yeah, go ahead.
It's kind of hard to get into football talk now, I know.
No, it's an awkward transition. He would want us to do that.
Yes, exactly. There you go.
The thing we can say is he would want us to talk about the Saints, because that's what he was out here to do, right? He was out here to cover the Saints. And So, we wrapped up practice in Irvine today. It was the last day of camp practice out here. Kind of had a last day of school feeling for the media, right? Like, right. It's weird because we're not done. We're going to go out to San Francisco this weekend. We're going to watch a preseason game. We're going to come back on Monday, and then we're going to have an open practice at Tulane Stadium on Tuesday. It's going to be kind of a welcome back to the humidity night out in at Yeoman Stadium. It was funny. We were talking to Jay Kaner yesterday, and he was mentioning how excited he was to get back to New Orleans, see the fans. I think it was Mike Haas who just was like, hey, do you know the feels like temperature? It was 118 today.
Yeah.
And it kind of looked like, you know, his life flashed before his eyes a little bit. But, it's going to be we're going to have that practice. Then we're going to have the two practices out in Metairie before one in the Superdome. So it's going to be you're going to have some sweating going on for those guys. It'll be interesting to see if they have them outside both of those days. But no, it was a solid day to end practice. You know, there's a lot of guys who were not out there. I think there were 18 absences. Rashid Shaheed is now dealing with a toe injury, which, you know, I think one of my biggest takeaways from the last few days, and it's a situation where we've seen this team have Rashid out there for a good number of practices. We've seen this team not have Rashid out there for a good number of practices, and particularly without Mason Tipton, right? He's been out with a hamstring injury. A.T. Perry is out with an ankle injury. You can start to see the speed deficit in this offense in terms of the wide receiver position, specifically behind Chris Olave. Chris Olave is a guy that, you know, he's a burner, but you're going to roll attention his way regardless. And when you don't have that speed threat across from him, I think this offense starts to bog down a little bit. It's a lot easier to shut down Chris Olave when you don't have to, when you're not kept honest over the top with that kind of elite speed on the opposite side. So that's going to be something to watch. Hopefully that toe injury isn't anything significant. He dealt with a hamstring tweak earlier in camp. That kind of leads me to a guy like Kevin Austin. He's a guy who has really come on strong the last week, you know, both 2-minute drills the last 2 days. He's made big plays today. He kind of got the drive started with the twos. Jay Kaner found him over the middle of the field on kind of a deep in cut for 20 yards. Then he hit Samson Nakua down to the 14-yard line. This was a drive that was, you know, started at the 45 with 48 seconds to go, no timeout. So there's really not a lot of wiggle room, not a lot of margin for error here. You get down to the 14-yard line, they run a fake spike with 15 seconds left. Kaner actually finds Austin in the corner of the end zone, but he gets one foot in bounds, the other one kind of comes down on the line. So it ends up being kind of an extended spike. And so you have two plays from the 10-yard line, right? Only needed one, goes right back to Kevin Austin in the same spot for a touchdown. And I think, you know, as we go through this preseason game, as we go through the next week, I think someone's gonna make this roster based on, okay, can you stretch a defense and contribute on special teams? And so he's a guy that I'm watching pretty closely this weekend.
Yeah, Jeff, talking about injury-wise, we know Taliese Fuaga left early yesterday due to a back issue. I know Dennis Allen said there's nothing to lose sleep over. It's nothing serious. I did see one of your tweets, though, that Eric McCoy got a little banged up today but was able to fight through it and still practice.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's like I wouldn't get too worried about it. It's just you guys, offensive linemen get rolled up on. It's just something that happens. You're in a pile of bodies, and sometimes, you know, your leg might bend the wrong way and get a little uncomfortable. We saw Cesar Ruiz go out with a similar situation 2 days ago. He came back. He didn't miss any time. It's really just something I note so that, hey, if Eric misses a couple practices for whatever reason, you could probably look back to that and say that's probably where he got banged up. So it's more like just a note than anything else. He didn't miss a rep. Like, he didn't even go out and get looked at by trainers. So definitely not anything to worry about. With Fuanga, it's a little more troubling just in the sense that, you know, you want him out there. He's a rookie. He really needs every rep he can get. So hopefully he's not missing too much time. Hopefully he can get out there on Sunday. We don't know for sure. I would say it's probably unlikely just because you're going to want to play it safe in this practice. But, you know, not getting as many reps as possible is obviously not a positive thing for a young player who's stepping into a significant role. The question also becomes, okay, who's behind him, right? Like, who is the depth at left tackle? And we saw Landon Young get most of the reps yesterday. Today he kind of traded off with Ole Udo in that role. So if he's unable to go on Sunday, it'll be interesting to see how they split that up. I would expect to see some combination of Landon, Ole, and then probably Jesse Davis, who's a veteran that they added midway through camp.
Yeah, that's actually what I wanted to bring up with you, Jeff, is that with Fuaga, you want to be careful, obviously, with him. You don't want to risk anything. The reps do matter, of course, but it sounded basically from what he was saying, DA, obviously, when he was saying he was rehabbing, and then, you know, is there a timeline? He was just like, no. He was very succinct, but basically at the same time said that there's not an issue for week one. It's potentially, you know, a situation where he might miss this weekend's game against San Francisco, and he may or may not be available for next week. We'll just kind of have to see how it plays out. But at today's practice, day 18, Landon Young and Ole Udo, as you mentioned, were both kind of trading reps there at left tackle. I mean, did anything kind of stand out there? I know that you said it was a decent day for pass protection.
Yeah, so it wasn't a day in pads. They were in shells. So, you know, anytime you're in shells, there's not going to be quite as much physicality, although we did see one fight today between Lucas Patrick and Brian Brzee. It was actually on the last rep of the day for the first team offense. And, you know, you're getting practice and practice and practice under your belt. It seems like Lucas has been building for him a little bit. So it's interesting to see that happen. But, no, I thought both those guys held up reasonably well. I think it'll be a situation where – you know, how much can you be trusted in that role, right? If you end up having to go to one of those guys, can you be put over there and say, hey, we're going to leave you one-on-one? Or are you going to constantly having to be sending help and chipping with a back or chipping with a tight end? You didn't see a ton of that today. You saw the tight ends lining up over the right side a good bit. And that's the question, because I do think that you can scheme away concerns about one of your tackles, right? Like, you can help one tackle and you can hide one tackle. You can't hide both tackles. And that's what I get concerned about with either of those guys is I'm not sure if you end up in a situation where you're starting Trevor Penning, a guy who's been struggling notably on the right side, and your backup left tackle, I think you're going to get into some serious trouble in the passing game and you'll have to see it. And I think that's where, if I'm coming at this offense with any major level of concern, it's the depth on the offensive line and what happens once you get past the starters if guys have to miss time. And the fact is, guys get hurt on the offensive line. It's one of the most commonly injured positions in the NFL, and you have to go 8 or 9 deep. You have to be comfortable going 8 or 9 deep, and I just don't know if this team is. So we'll see. But both of those guys, they've been around the league for a while. They understand what the responsibilities are. You're going to want to lean on the run game, and I think they both were solid in run blocking today. We saw more situational stuff, and, you know, in a 2-minute drill, you're not really run blocking. But we'll have to see. I think Sunday is going to be a big day for both of them in terms of, okay, who's going to win that kind of that backup role if Fuaga is not out there. So we'll find out more then.
Jeff, a guy that's been on my radar, I'm curious to find more about, is a new wide receiver that the team added in Samson Nakua. Love the size on this guy. Obviously, the name synonymous with his brother that plays on the Rams, and Puka Nakua. But what has Samson been able to do so far in this limited time at training camp since he's joined the Black and Gold?
Yeah, he's been consistent, right? He's made plays. He's a guy that I think has some upside on special teams, a bigger body. I wouldn't put him in the same mold as Puka, and that Puka's more built like a running back than a wide receiver. Samson is a wide receiver, but he's got a pretty solid frame. He can be physical. He's got good ball skills. He seems to just be in the right spot at the right time, and that's what you want to say about a young player. I think he's a guy that they probably would want to get on the practice squad, and it would be my kind of read on it right now. You know, I don't know if maybe they're trying to hide him a little bit in terms of getting some reps out there.
Right.
He didn't get in until late against the Cardinals, which I found a little odd. So we'll see this week. You know, you're down. You're pretty much in the same position you were from a wide receiver perspective as you were last week. So I think it'll be a good situation to see, okay, how does that kind of rotation change at all? Does he get more reps earlier in the game, or do you kind of stick with what was established before? Are you still putting Cedric Wilson in with the ones? Are you putting Stanley Morgan up there? Are you putting Kevin Austin up there? But I like what I've seen from Samson. And, you know, it's just a situation where, hey, you're asking a lot of these depth wide receivers if you are without, you know, some of these top end guys. And you have two slighter frame wide receivers at the top of that depth chart. who, you know, I think there's probably a bit higher risk with those guys that they do get hurt. So the depth is going to be important. And again, you know, and I mentioned the depth on the offensive line. I think there's several positions on the offense where, you know, once you get past the top line, there's some serious question marks. You don't necessarily have the developmental guys at wide receiver. You don't necessarily have the developmental guys at tight end, you know, running back. You know, you'd like to say, hey, we have depth at running back, but, you know, the guy that you'd want to be that premium depth hasn't been available in Kendre Miller. If you get past Jamal Williams and Alvin Kamara, what really is there? You're looking at Jordan Mims, a guy who I think has been good, but, you know, you're asking a lot if he's your RB2 or your RB3. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, guys like Samson, guys like Kevin Austin, I think they have an opportunity. That's the way I'm going to phrase it. That's the optimism I'm going to put on it, is they have an opportunity to show in these weeks with some of these guys down that they can earn that job. And I think one of the other questions we're going to look at, and then that's going to apply to Samson, it's going to apply to Kevin, is has A.T. Perry done enough to earn a roster spot? I don't know how long he's going to be out. He's dealing with an ankle sprain. Sounds like he's hopeful to be ready by the start of the regular season. And he has the luxury of being able to say, hey, I was in one preseason game and I put up a really big performance, so that's going to be kind of a feather in my cap. But is that enough for a guy who hasn't shown a ton in practice, right? You can't only show it in the games. You have to do it in practice too. So I think that's where you're going to have to make that determination. You're going to weigh that is, okay, the guy should have been here versus a guy I kind of know a little bit about in terms of I've seen him do it in games. So that's going to be something that those guys have to put the right foot forward and make that decision as hard as possible in the next couple of weeks.
The wide receiver room is so fascinating, Jeff, because, I mean, we all knew going into this year, Olave, Shaheed 1 and 2, but it was always that battle. We've been talking about this for months now. Who's going to be the wide receiver 3? And you were hoping that A.T. Perry would kind of take that step entering year 2 and that he would kind of take that job and grab the bull by the horn, so to speak. But it seems like basically from everything that we've heard about A.T. is that, you know, that first preseason game was great, but the consistency just hasn't been there. And DA has actually criticized his consistency, especially at practice. So that's been something that we've been keeping an eye on. Now he's dealing with an injury as well. And someone else dealing with an injury, as you reported earlier today, Rashid Shaheed with a toe injury. So what's kind of the latest with him? Because as you kind of mentioned, Jeff, the depth there is kind of a question mark right now.
Yeah, Rashid, it's tough to say. So he was out with a hamstring issue for a few days, you know, kind of wrapped around the first preseason game. He came back midweek in a red jersey, a non-contact jersey. He got back into full participation, for Wednesday and Thursday's practice. And then, you know, we didn't see him out there today. I don't know exactly when he had the toe injury. It's funny because you talk about a toe injury and it sounds kind of minor, right? Like anytime you're saying, oh, it's a toe. But, you know, these guys use their feet for a living, right? Your toe is incredibly important. In terms of, we don't know what toe it is. We don't know what foot it is. So you don't want to speculate on that front, but we have seen guys miss significant time with toe injuries, right? Mike Thomas, a couple of years ago, you know, he missed half the season with a dislocated toe. Peyton Turner last year, right? Landon Young had a significant toe injury a few years ago, and that cost him, you know, half the season. So you're hoping that it's a minor thing, and it's kind of just a maintenance thing. And that's what I think you look at and you see, okay, there's a lot of players injured, there's a lot of players out. But for the most part, they're soft tissue kind of maintenance stuff. So we'll find out in the next, you know, the next week plus, right? If he can get back and get back to practice, then we won't be worried about it. But, you know, if it ends up being an extended injury and you're looking at, man, we don't have A.T. Perry, we don't have Rashid Shaheed, you know, we don't have Mason Tipton, we don't have a lot of these guys, it starts to be a much bigger concern. So, you know, I don't have a ton of information on it right now, but it's definitely a concern because, like I said, when you don't have that speed across from Chris Olave and you can just roll safety help over to his side, it becomes a much more difficult competition to move the ball.
I think something that, Jeff, everybody's looking for in this preseason game number 2 is an improvement up front along that offensive line. It was brutal to start game 1, and just curious from your notes or what you're going to be looking for to really stand out that you want to see improvement from in this game against the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you're looking at multiple positions. It's not just one guy. Obviously, everyone's going to have their eyes trained on Trevor Penning because he's kind of been under a microscope this offseason. And I just want to see him battle a little bit more effectively. I want to see him be a little more aggressive in his pass sets. Obviously, you don't want to miss, but I do want to see him get his hands on people and move them around. The issue, in my opinion, has been he's too passive, and he's the one who's getting moved around. And you're too big of a dude, you're too strong of a dude to let people bully you in every single pass set. So I'd just like to see him, you know, not get downhill in terms of a pass set, but, you know, get his hands on some people and manhandle them a little bit. And so we'll see if he can do that a little better. You know, and I think I want to see Lucas Patrick kind of come along at guard and kind of develop at guard, and we'll see how that goes. I do wonder if you are down your starting left tackle, if that impacts how much you are willing to put Derek Carr out there. And we'll have to see how they kind of determine that. You don't want to send your first team quarterback out there if you're not comfortable with the protection. But if those guys are, if that's who you're looking at as a guy who you think might have to play, then you might have to get them out there and see how it all goes. But, you know, I just want to see, you know, it's pretty simple. Protect the quarterback, right? Give him time in the pocket, create clean pockets, give him time to throw, and let this offense operate at a pace that it should. I don't want to see every throw be hurried. You know, you're not going to win every rep. I don't think we'll see a lot of the 49ers first team defense out there. So you should have an advantage against some of these backups that you're going to be going against. And I'd like to see them, you know, sustain a drive. I don't need to see it, you know, every play be perfect. I don't need to see a 7-play 80-yard touchdown drive like we saw last year to start the preseason, but I do want to see sustained offense, right? I don't want to see a 10-play 10-yard drive or whatever it was against the Cardinals. I want to see first downs. I want to see the chains moving. And if he can do that, I think the confidence will grow in this group.
Jeff, staying on the offensive side of the ball for the last one, we've talked a lot about this because it just feels like it's one of the weaknesses on the roster, is the tight end position. And we've heard a lot about, you know, Michael Jacobson and Dallin Holker, like these kind of under-the-radar guys that are fighting for a potential roster spot behind someone like Foster Moreau. And obviously, Juwan Johnson's been dealing with an injury, and he's expected to be the guy there. But what's kind of your thoughts on this tight end group after another week of practice? Has anyone kind of emerged there?
Not really. You know, it's kind of reinforced the idea that I really want to see Juwan Johnson get back, right? Because he is the guy. He's going to be the starter. He's going to be the chain mover, the guy who kind of stretches things up the seam. You know, I don't know if we've seen what maybe we hope to see out of Dallin Holker. I was hoping to see a little bit more as a pass catcher. Michael Jacobson's been out with a foot injury the last several days, so I don't know if he's going to be available on Sunday. You know, guys like Kevin Rader and Mason Fairchild, you know, I wouldn't say they've blown the doors off. So, you know, it would be nice to see one of these tight ends go out there and have a good game. Maybe Dallin can shut me up a little bit with a big performance. I didn't think he was terrible in the preseason opener. Obviously, you can't put the ball on the ground like he did. But, no, I wouldn't say that's a position that I've been super encouraged by. But when the starter's not there, you know, you have to take that with a grain of salt. So we'll see.
Jeff, so you and the guys flying out tonight or tomorrow for the next stop on your trek?
That would be tomorrow, and that's the next thing on my agenda is collecting all of the stuff that has kind of slowly branched out in this hotel room. It's going to take probably hours to collect everything. So I got to get that done tonight. But yeah, we'll be headed out around noon tomorrow. Over to San Jose, yep.
Gotcha. Enjoy it, Jeff. Look forward to having you back home in Louisiana soon enough. Thank you for the time.
Sounds good, y'all. Thanks,
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer. Hey, making his way out to, you heard him, San Jose, and I guess that's pretty close to the Santa Clara / San Fran area.
I'm not familiar with California geography. I've never been. So
I'm going to take a break. Be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Checking out our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Charlie, I know something grabbed your attention.
Yeah, we got a bunch of people flooding in with messages about Ed Daniels, and it's, as we mentioned, a tragedy. But someone else also brought up the backup QB role. And something that, Jeff, we didn't get to ask him about, we ran out of time a little bit there, was talking about Jake Haener And Jeff had a great tweet about Haener throughout practice sessions. He said, as you look at Jake Haener's preseason so far, there's a lot to like, but executing in low-percentage scoring situations, end of half against the Cardinals, and again today, an end-of-game scenario, has probably been the most impressive thing. Those are the scenarios that often decide games, and when QBs we'd call winners typically shine. So Jake Haener, having another good day of practice, apparently Jeff had highlighted him as one of the better kind of – they did situational drives today and one of the better performers in those situations. So Jake Haener with another day of practice that looked pretty good. He talked a little bit about him connecting with Kevin Austin, the wide receiver that's fighting for a spot on this team as well. It's back and forth, though, Steve. We've mentioned that multiple times. Haener versus Rattler. And we can't – that's like – when we're going to be previewing the game on Sunday against the 49ers, that's going to obviously be a big talking point, too.
We will take another break and be back with more Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk, getting ready to hand things over to the top of the hour at a news break, but wanted to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line real quick. Texter here on 8942. If the Saints are kicking the tires on an offensive tackle, they better not sleep. Reports are that guys across the league are dropping like flies with injuries, so better act fast. I wanted to read that, Charlie, just because another texter goes, oh, the Saints, who says it's an advantage being out there? There's so many injuries.
No, well, real quick, to Jeff's point, offensive line, and Mike has said this a bunch too, offensive line is like the most injured position in football. And to our texter's point, more recently, it's been just smashing the Cincinnati Bengals. Amarius Mims, who was the 18th overall pick this past year's draft offensive tackle, had a pectoral issue, so he's going to be out for several weeks, which is a good thing that they signed Trent Brown. But also today, one of the lead stories on ESPN, Dante Smith, who is one of their kind of reserve guys, one of their backup pieces, is going to be missing the upcoming season with a patellar tendon injury. So, I mean, yeah, the injuries are starting to pile up around NFL offensive linemen and especially offensive tackles around the NFL. So I agree with this text. If they are going to go get a veteran, you got to go do it soon.
But for people questioning, you know, why are the Saints having so many injuries if they're supposedly had this advantage with weather out west, it's not really the advantage, I think, from injuries. You're able to get more work in because you're not having to take these constant water breaks either because of temperatures.
115 degree heat index.
Yeah, you're just able to get your work done more efficiently. Anyway, we'll be back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after the news break on WWL. We're back here on Sports Talk, getting ready to hand things over to the top of the hour at a news break, but wanted to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line real quick. Texter here on 8942. If the Saints are kicking the tires on an offensive tackle, they better not sleep. Reports are that guys across the league are dropping like flies with injuries, so better act fast. I wanted to read that, Charlie, just because another texter goes, oh, the Saints, who says it's an advantage being out there? There's so many injuries.
No, well, real quick, to Jeff's point, offensive line, and Mike has said this a bunch too, offensive line is like the most injured position in football. And to our texter's point, more recently, it's been just smashing the Cincinnati Bengals. Amarius Mims, who was the 18th overall pick this past year's draft offensive tackle, had a pectoral issue, so he's going to be out for several weeks, which is a good thing that they signed Trent Brown. But also today, one of the lead stories on ESPN, Dante Smith, who is one of their kind of reserve guys, one of their backup pieces, is going to be missing the upcoming season with a patellar tendon injury. So, I mean, yeah, the injuries are starting to pile up around NFL offensive linemen and especially offensive tackles around the NFL. So I agree with this text. If they are going to go get a veteran, you got to go do it soon.
But for people questioning, you know, why are the Saints having so many injuries if they're supposedly had this advantage with weather out west, it's not really the advantage, I think, from injuries. You're able to get more work in because you're not having to take these constant water breaks either because of temperatures.
115 degree heat index.
Yeah, you're just able to get your work done more efficiently. Anyway, we'll be back with more Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after the news break on WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.